Welcome to Education Talks. I'm David Burke. Kaylin Fullerton is an educational consultant and professional development facilitator. After working in several international schools, she became the founder of Upstream Collaborative, with a focus on social-emotional learning and mindfulness in international schools, advancing research into practice. Well, Kaylin, welcome to Education Talks. It's great to have you here. Where are you at the moment?
Thanks, Dave. I am in Jakarta, Indonesia. Sunny and hot.
Fantastic. Well, thanks very much for being here. I'm wondering if you could perhaps start off by, you know, sharing a little bit about your background and pathway into education and what inspired you to pursue the path.
Sure. I know we have many different teacher identity stories. I'm one of those people who was going to be a teacher since about probably 9 years old. I used to spend my recesses playing with the kindergartens and helping the teachers in kindergarten. And my mom was a teacher as well. So it's been a passion from early on. And international teaching was not something I knew about until I went abroad to do my teaching diploma in Australia. And then my family not being big travelers, I totally caught the bug and was really excited about finding a way to stay overseas. And I was Googling madly and found out about international schools, and I've been nomadic ever since.
Brilliant. Now, so you worked in numerous international schools. You're a homeroom teacher?
Yes, I'm a homeroom elementary and kindergarten teacher for the most part.
And then sort of you've focused since then on SEL and mindfulness. And I'm wondering if you could maybe share, you know, what motivated you to explore these areas and how they interconnect in your professional life?
Yeah, so many years ago, I wish I had, you know, the article that led me down the rabbit hole, but I read some sort of article about the benefits of mindfulness for students. And I am one of those people that's always trying to learn new things and apply them to the classroom. And so I was interested in mindfulness and thought, yes, this is really great for the kids. This is something that's going to help in my classroom. And when I stepped out and tried to find, I was living in Ukraine at the time, so there wasn't much English PD, right? So I was looking online again for things, and I found this great organization called Mindful Schools. And their policy, which is still today, which I totally agree with, but was disappointed at the time, was that, well, you can't take a class in teaching the curriculum until you have your own personal practice. And so we offer these fundamental classes, or, you know, you can show proof that you've taken another fundamental class. So I was a little disgruntled. I was like, this is not for me. This is for the kids, like, you know, but went along with it. And I'm here today because of that. And both personally and professionally, these practices have just changed my life. I have become a much more patient person, a much more curious person, a better teacher, a better partner, a better friend. And so, as I said, mindfulness was kind of the rabbit hole for me. I did that first course, I did the teaching course, and then I just kept going and going and going. And then I sort of discovered in really an action research way in the classroom, trying these practices with kids, seeing the difference, and then thinking, okay, what's next? We have this, we've been practicing this attention and this focus. And then I want to layer some more of those social skills on top. And so that's a couple years later when I really found out more about social emotional learning. So in my belief, the two really go together hand in hand. And like I said, that this whole experience has kind of driven my philosophy that the practice really starts with the adult at the center, developing their own awareness, these skills, which I don't know about you, but I was not taught as a child and youth myself. And so there was a lot of learning and growing to do. And both myself personally and my students, I think, are the better for it.
So that personal learning and growing then is sort of like the prerequisite to taking it into the classroom, you'd say.
Huge, huge. I mean, you think about all of us as teachers, right? When you get in anything, right? Let's take SEL off the table, but you get a new reading curriculum or a new strategy. Like if you just pick it up that morning and try to teach it, it's going to be a really rough lesson, right? And so it seems like there's a bit of a disconnect with, because SEL and mindfulness can be so ethereal, right? And it's how you are, but they are direct teachable skills as well. And if we're not walking the walk, our students can feel it, right? If we're just preaching to them about empathic communication and taking a breath and regulating, but we're not able to do that ourselves, they don't believe it, right?
Yeah.
So it shows up.
What are some of the, I guess, key well-being challenges that are facing students today? And, what are some of the things that schools and families can do better in this area to support students?
It's a really tough time right now in terms of well-being, and I don't know if the media makes this worse, as they tend to, because we're hearing about it a lot more. What I am grateful for is that COVID, as horrid as it was, I think brought kind of the crisis mode and brought these issues to attention for all of us, and this recognition that mental health matters and well-being needs to be at the center of everything in education and in families. So you just go out there and do a quick read. Like, we are seeing an increasing amount of loneliness, and especially seeing this in our young boys. And I think that comes a lot with societal expectations and pressures to not necessarily express emotions. And it's a different expectation that we have from our females. But there's a lot of deep problems that our young girl adolescents are having as well. Social media, while there's a lot of joys and a lot of positives, it's bringing a lot of detrimental effects to our teenagers. And, you know, with our young ones all the way up to our adolescents, it's been, you talk to teachers and they're like, something's going on. It's really hard to regulate coming out of the pandemic. And I think there's been this global kind of, okay, we're back to normal now, right? Like, we don't have to wear masks if we don't want to. We don't have to, you know, live inside our houses, and we're just going to walk out and it's all going to be fine. But there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of kind of pent up trauma and worry that ourselves and our children were living with for years. And it needs to be acknowledged, and those skills about how to regulate, how to recognize our emotions, need to be addressed. And so, and like, may I say that this is not just the kids, this is us too, and families are really struggling. So there's a great, if you want to look it up, if you're, you know, nerd out on the data like I do, there's a great report that just came out by the CDC, the DASH division, talking specifically about youth mental health. And they give 6 recommendations. And those recommendations include directly teaching students about mental health, right? It includes practicing mindfulness, practicing SEL, being taught these skills. And it also includes things like therapeutic techniques and CBT. But the last one is building teacher well-being. And I would say, you know, this wasn't part of the study because this was for schools, but I would also extend that to parent well-being. So again, really, it's not selfish to start with yourself, because that radiates out into your connection with the children and youth in your life.
Yep. What was the name of that report that you mentioned?
The DASH report, Department of Adolescent.
Because what I think we should do is we'll add that to the
let's
the
link description. That.
And yeah. So people who are listening or watching, you can just find it right now in the description. We've since added it. So there we go.
Perfect. The CDC, the Adolescent and School Health Division, and it's a mental health report. So we'll have that linked for you. Yay.
Brilliant. Wondering if you can maybe share some of the projects you've worked on recently and some of the, you know, successes, things you're most been most satisfied with.
Yeah. So, as I said, I come from a homeroom teaching background, and I've been overjoyed to be able to kind of foray into a more supportive role at various schools and organizations. So, I've done a lot of different things this year, and it's been so much fun to connect with educators and children and parents in different formats. So, there's been a few conferences. I did a really cool conference in November that was the brainchild of Aga Chojneska and Kimberly Mitchell was there as well. It was a really cool conference. It was called the Festival of Lifelong Learning. Really cool conference because it was 3 days and a different audience each day. So parents came one day, children came the next day, and then we finished off with teachers at the end. And it was the first time I'd ever had parents as like a major part of an educational experience like that. And I thought it just spoke to this kind of holistic perspective of supporting children's growth and learning. So that was cool and new, and I hope that happens again. And I've also gotten to do some work with schools directly, where schools have brought me in and I've done either multi-day or kind of drop-in hour or half-day professional development opportunities for their teachers. And again, this is kind of a mix between personal practice and bringing this into the classroom and parents as well, right? So I think oftentimes parents are left out of the major conversation of what's going on at school. And so I think it's great when schools are bringing people in for parent talks and conversations. What else? I'm doing some really fun work with a school in Jakarta where I go in each week and I'm doing mindfulness and SEL classes for their kids from grade 1 to 12. So that's wonderful just to be part of a community and to know almost all of the children across the community and really feel connected. So it's been fun. I've been really grateful to be experiencing these new opportunities and meeting educators and parents around the world.
That's wonderful, and no doubt a busy schedule, but looking towards the future, what are some new projects or initiatives that you're most excited about? So, and how are you going to continue this impacting the fields of SEL and wellness?
Yeah, well, you've heard me say in the last this time together, I really believe I love, love, love the work with children of all ages, and I would be very happy to do that 24/7. And at the same time, I really believe that starting with the adults is the heart of how to really build well-being in schools and extending out to families. So I am in the very exciting stages of my doctoral studies, actually, where I'm about a month away from defending and hopefully closing that exciting chapter of my life. And that has been some cooperative work with other international school teachers where we've been exploring personal practices and mindfulness-based SEL. And so it's been a really exciting starting point to kind of say, hey, what happens when we practice these practices and learn these skills and just pay attention to ourselves? And we've been noticing like big increases in self-compassion and in developing awareness and also this real passion to want to bring it into our school communities. And so, plug for the Ed Events group that we are connecting and starting up right now in mindfulness and social emotional learning. I'm really excited about that as something that I don't know where it's going to go, but the hope is to connect with teachers who are already on the road and passionate about this work, or really curious and wanting to know, and hoping to build a community of people in the education field, teachers, TAs, support teachers. Because it can, if you're not at a school that is trying to do this work systemically, it can be quite lonely to be doing something on your own and feel like you're pushing a boulder up a hill a little bit. And so trying to find those ways to connect with teachers, hopefully in a kind of grassroots ground up way. And so I think that'll offer some opportunities for research as well. I hope to still continue that research and writing and trying to advocate for these practices.
Yeah, and it's fantastic to have you on board with one of those EdEvents groups. And really what we're hoping for is that those groups become a space where people can, of course, engage and interact. But then also, because it's in the one place, people from different groups, will discover other groups of interest. For example, another group I think just kicking off this week, the week of recording, is a group in Korea, a group of teachers focused on wellness and supporting some of the initiatives inside schools, in international schools in South Korea. So, of course, there's a lot of overlap there and opportunity for people to be in either group and be able to connect with each other. It's going to be really exciting. So it is great. Now, if people are interested in getting in touch with you, Kaylin, how can they go about doing that?
Yeah, well, just below this video, you will find links for my socials. Reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter. My website, Upstream Collaborative, is linked there. And please join the EdEvents group. And I am always eager to talk to schools about, you know, possibilities if you're interested in training. And I am interested in, if you're not interested in training and you're a teacher and you're passionate about this and you want to know where to start, do not hesitate to reach out, because I think this work is just transformative and I want to see it moving onwards and upwards in our international schools.
Yes, and also in the description are links to your website. We've got links to the EdEvents listing in the solutions listing for Upstream Collaborative, and hopefully some people can learn a little bit about what you're doing and take up those offers. So Kaylin, it's been great to catch up. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for everything that you're doing, and looking forward to keeping in touch.
Cool. Thanks, Dave.
The EdEvents community is your one-stop shop for all things happening in international education. We're partnering with events organizers, solutions providers, and schools so that you can discover professional opportunities by joining for free. You can also connect with colleagues in various community groups. So sign up today by visiting the EdEvents website, ed.events.